And thank you for joining us for Calangio Heroes, a video podcast produced by the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation. I'm Jennifer Weaver, and I will be the host for this episode that I am proud to announce actually is going to be graced by the beautiful presence of Ambuge. I don't know how to say your last name, though, so you'll have to help me with that. Talk about an introduction. How about you jump in and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, Jennifer. Thank you for the lovely introduction. So my name is Ambuge Srivastav, and I am a former caregiver for my father, who was diagnosed with cholangiocarcinoma in 2019, who sadly passed away earlier this year in 2022.
I'm really sorry to hear that. I hope your family still feels his presence and love and peace. But with that said, I think it's great to give a perspective from a caregiver's. Because in a way, I mean, you never really escape that role. You're keeping his memory alive by sharing your experience. Mm-hmm. So why don't you start by just telling us how you became a caregiver?
Yeah, so my father and my mother, they came to visit us in Toronto to celebrate their granddaughter's, my daughter's first birthday. And as it happens, during their visit, he felt sick. We took him to the ER, and that's when we realized that there was something really serious going on with him. He was jaundiced, and for the first time, I actually got to see someone fully yellow from head to toe. I had heard about it. I didn't really quite believe how can someone turn yellow, but mm-hmm. when I saw it with my own two eyes, I realized this is something very serious. And fast forward a few months, you know, we realized that he had a stage 2 cholangiocarcinoma, and at that time, we decided that it would be best for him to continue his treatments here in Toronto, because you know, we've got a lot of experts in the field here, and to ensure that he had the best chance of survival, this would be the right place. So my wife and I and our daughter, we gladly were happy to have both of them stay with us for the duration, because it gave us a look into his life. Even though we were caregiving for him, we mm-hmm. got to see another aspect of his life, which we would not have seen had we not lived so closely together.
Oh, do you have any memories you'd like to share of that time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my dad is a sailor. So he had been sailing on ships for the last 25 years of his life. And in Toronto, we have a lot of ferries and ships that go through the lakes. So there were times where we would drive by randomly and we would see a ship that's sailing through one of the lakes or through one of the docks. And we would just pull over and just stand there for about an hour looking at the ship. And that brought back a lot of memories for us, specifically myself, because, you know, I was lucky enough to travel on ships with him during my summer vacations. Mm. So at one point where we would be on the ships looking down at all the city people and, you know, waving to them, this was the other way around. We were looking up and waving to all the people on the ships. And, you know, that was a very, very fond memory of mine that I'm going to carry with me. In addition to that, you know, he really loved playing with his granddaughter. They would go out for walks early in the mornings or late in the evenings, on weekends. And he did this for as long as he could. Even on days when he wasn't feeling too well because of his chemotherapy or the side effects, knowing that, you know, his granddaughter is pulling on his leg to say, hey, can we go out for a walk? I want to go check out that lawn with all the small little flowers. He would find the courage within himself to do that. So, you know, to see that level of courage that he brought on upon himself to keep fighting, you know, to keep fighting for something that he gets excited about was fantastic. And to be really honest, Jennifer, it's something that has trickled down to my wife and I as well, mm-hmm. Because there are certain things that we saw. For example, his love for food is unparalleled. You know, he made a routine of us having certain foods in specific days of the week, certain religious activities that we do on a weekly basis now. So these things that are something that he would do in his own home in Vancouver with his wife. But because, you know, we were privileged enough to have him come stay with us, we got to live that life. And now we carry that forward with us.
That's beautiful. See, he's always with you.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. We dearly miss him, but yes, he's still there.
I'm sure he sounds like a lovely man. I'd miss him too. I wish I knew him. But with that said, you and I have talked, and you have kind of an interesting philosophy when it comes to caregiving. Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I wouldn't take all the credit for it. I have a great mentor from cholangiocarcinoma Foundation, Ellie. Shout out to Ellie. We as we as I was going through this while my father was still alive, Ellie was very instrumental in trying to help understand, make me understand, everything that a caregiver has to go through. And she helped validate a lot of the anxieties that I was going through. And in thinking about that, I realized that the life of a caregiver really boils down to three categories, if you were to look at it: caregiving, care living, and care loving. So caregiving is your role as a caregiver that's on the driver's seat. You are giving for your loved one. You are asking questions all the time. You're taking notes. And it's or you're helping your loved or you're helping your loved one ask the questions. You're empowering them to ask questions. So it's a lot of giving that you're doing. And it takes and it's something that you do either because you feel like there's that your loved one can't do it, or just because you're of that mindset that I have to do it. So you're constantly in the mode of giving in one way or the other. The other aspect of a caregiver is care living, where now you have to change your lifestyle based on the increased demand on yourself, or you have to set boundaries. You have to set or reset or realign expectations, not only from others, but also from yourself, because you can only give 100%. And within that 100%, a lot of that percentage has to be reallocated for looking after yourself and your family, looking after your loved one for whom you're caregiving, and for your work. And that can add a lot of stress. And it's very challenging if you don't recognize that you're going through that process. So once you know that, okay, this is a lifestyle change and I'm being burnt out, because I feel that burnout is such an important aspect of caregiving that is overlooked because we fail to recognize it. And it's difficult to recognize. I didn't recognize it until my mentor pointed it out to me. And that's why it's so important to know you need to set your boundaries from and expectations that, at one point I used to do XYZ. I'm sorry, I no longer can do that because that time and energy is important elsewhere. And then the last category is care loving. Now you've done giving, you've done living. Now it's all about loving yourself. You hear this all the time, and by far it's the most important aspect of it. It's making sure that you take time for yourself, but also creating a support structure for yourself and your family. The great part about this is it's the only thing you have control over. You have no control over what the scan results, blood test results are going to say. You have no control over what the side effect is going to be like, but you do have control over the kind of people that are around you. So you get to choose what your support system looks like, right? You will have friends and family that might want to reach out and help you. Take advantage. You will be surprised how difficult it is for people to actually provide help, because everyone's got a busy life. So if someone's willing to take that time out and lend a hand, take it. And take help from work. Set expectations with your manager or your colleagues or your peers, whoever your support system is, you get to choose. You get to choose to say no as well. You don't always have to say yes. You get to say no also. And then also as part of loving yourself, add some normalcy to your life. Your days are going to be extremely challenging and a lot of times unplanned. You cannot plan for any of this. And you're going to have curveballs thrown at you. It'll disrupt your calendar, your schedule, whatever you had planned for that day or the weekend. But try to find some normalcy in your life. Try to do some day-to-day activities that you would normally do. And that helps. That helps kind of, it helps you realize that your life is more than just being a caregiver. You have this other aspect of being that individual, being that personality that you were up until being a caregiver. And that doesn't go away. It just gets sidelined. And you just need to bring some of those aspects back into your life. So yeah, that's my philosophy.
Well, thanks to Allie. Now we all know about it through you. So yeah. I think that's a great philosophy to have. There's a few things that you talked about that kind of struck me, because there's this adage out there that you aim for work-life balance. And I think it really should be switched to life-work harmony, because life always needs to come first. And I know there's a lot of sacrifices, but like you said, you very transparent, get the support you need, even from your place of employment, whoever you may be working for. And I like the word harmony a little bit better than balance, just because especially when you have a loved one you're caring for, there's no balance.
No, there isn't.
There's none. The only thing you can do, like you said, is kind of control your disposition of it to create that harmony with what you're dealing with in your life. So I kind of liked a lot of what you shared there. But I'm wondering, I mean, you're on this podcast for a reason, because you're still very involved with the foundation, mm-hmm. even though your father has passed. Explain to me why that's important to you.
So everything happens for a reason, right? And we were trying to obviously find reasons why this happens to us or to our loved one.
Right.
The only takeaway, the only positive or the silver lining that I could come up with was the fact that if it wasn't for my dad's cancer, which is very unfortunate, I would have never engaged with the foundation. So in hindsight, the way I'm looking at it is this is the parting gift that my father gave me. Because when I came to the conference in 2022 in Utah, and I met the people there, I met the patients, the caregivers, family members, researchers, doctor scientists, I was amazed by how empathetic, sympathetic every single one was. I met some wonderful people. I was told going into the conference that I would make friends for life. And I can say, and absolutely I have. So, and on top of that, it allowed me to understand the importance of helping others. My parents, especially my father and my mother and my grandparents, actually, they have always been of the giving kind. Mm-hmm. But when you see the positive impact it has on people and their day-to-day lives, only then it really hits you the importance of giving. And because of that, I joined the foundation as a mentee, but then I started with the help of Melinda Bikini, the director of advocacy, I wanted to start a Canadian caregiver support group so that we could all get together and talk about something that was more than just the disease. Because the way you manage the disease is very different depending on which country you're in. Mm. So I felt a strong need, because in conversations with my father, he said, oh, you know what? It would be nice if you met someone else that had the same disease as I did in Toronto. He wasn't able to fly out to the conference and meet all the great people that were there. And that's when it occurred to me that why don't we have one? We should have a support group that's specific to Canadians. Yeah. And from there, and prior to that, I became a research advocate. So, you know, the parting gift that my father gave me was leaving me with a group of amazing individuals and professionals that have changed my life. Mm-hmm. I feel to some extent fulfilled, knowing that, you know, I did the best that I could with the other caregivers for my father. But I'm also able to lend a hand to others, just exactly like how other people lended their hand to me and my family. So it's a very fulfilling sensation to know that I am still involved with the foundation. And it helps me immensely as I go through the grief, what I hear, grief is something that you live with for the rest of your life. It's all how you manage it. And staying connected with the foundation and seeing the optimism and positivity from everyone gives me a lot of faith and hope.
Oh, thank you so much. You've said a few words that people who may be watching this won't be familiar with because they're not a part of the community. But when you said you were mentee, that's actually through our Clanjo Connect mentoring program. So Allie was your mentor. So I just want to give a shout out to Clanjo Connect, because it is very helpful for people who need that support or ready to give support to others and become a mentor, which is a definite need that we need right now. So I appreciate that you've even paid it forward by becoming a research advocate and starting a support group in Canada. How is that going? How's that support group going?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's great. We have had a slight increase in the number of participants that are coming in. And as part of that, we have actually been able to start an in-person meet and greet as well. So this is done by one of the patients that lives in Toronto. And because the support group was quite beneficial for the ones that were attending, we decided that it's nice to have a virtual support group because it's Canada-wide, but we should also start meeting up in person as much as possible. So we had our first in-person support group meeting at one of the patient's house, but 2 months ago, I believe, and it was a good turnout. And it was amazing to meet other people that had the exact same disease as you, that are going through the same challenges as you're going within your local community. And we have had some really good conversations come out of that support group as well, in terms of research opportunities and treatment opportunities, and you know, a lot of challenges that one person is facing, another one has already faced it and has a solution for it. So we're able to bring people together and help them resolve some of the issues. So it's been a great experience, and you know, fingers crossed, we're hoping that it keeps expanding.
Oh, definitely. When do you have those support group meetings?
So it's on the third Wednesday of every month, and folks can register for it on cholangiocarcinoma.org, I believe it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. And so they actually have two support groups. There's one for Canadians. It's caregiver, patient and caregiver support group. That's the one that I host among my peers. And there's also two other ones that are hosted by Melinda, which is one very patient specific, and then there's a caregiver specific. So you can pick and choose the one that you'd like.
Well, right on. Thank you so much for definitely being a wonderful guest, and hopefully we'll be seeing you. It sounds like we will be seeing you.
Absolutely.
And all of those who are listening, you heard it, but I know it's a little bit hard to say, but cholangiocarcinoma.org is where you can find information. And because cholangiocarcinoma is quite a long word, we actually have created another URL that you can get us at curecc.org. So you'll get to the same website, but it's definitely easier to spell and easier to remember, curecc.org. Hey, thank you, Ambuj. Do you have any parting words?
Yeah, actually I do. As difficult of a disease this is, you know, any cancer journey is challenging. It doesn't have to be a rare disease, you know. The emotions and feelings that you go through during this journey is challenging for everyone. I think what's really important for everyone to know that there is support out there. It may not be available at your specific hospital, but there are people out there that are going through the same challenges that you're going through, and you're not alone. The support is there. It's just a matter of reaching out, and you will be amazed by how much other people that are going through the same journey are willing to help you. So reach out. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid.
Those are the best parting words ever. Thank you again. So and everyone joining us, please join us next week with a new episode of Cholangio Heroes.
Thanks, Jennifer.